I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we're doing things a little differently. Emily is going to be spearheading this Downton Abbey episode with having the episode on her end. We've had a lot of sound issues on my end. We tried to record yesterday, and honestly, I think everything just got way too hot and didn't want to work. So we're doing a completely different thing today.
So let's just hope it works. Yes, Alessandra's always been the one playing the clips and playing the episode, but I'm gonna do it today, so hopefully I don't fuck it up.
You know, it does take some practice, so I don't expect you to get it right this first time.
But no, I'm gonna do it perfectly this time, so don't even worry. What even happened last episode? I can't even recall it right now.
Well, it was the... Edith finally got Antony Strallen to agree to marry her. That happened.
That's right.
Antony, they were trying to get money out of Granny.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
That's okay. What happened.
That's and so it. now just more drama, more Downton, more whatever. Let's just get into it.
All right.
We're going to start with the intro. Here we go.
It's so weird seeing it all choppy and on the other end of this Google Hangouts call.
It's so weird, like, hearing it really well and seeing it very well on my end.
I love it. Do you have the subtitles on?
I should. I put subtitles on everything now, so it should.
And you've been watching your K-dramas, and you have to watch subtitles.
So I'm really good at reading.
That is true.
Really good at. Because like they talk so fast sometimes that sometimes I just miss sentences. But you know what? I still know what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's fine. But that's probably why I'm also so exhausted, because reading my shows lately have just been exhausting for my eyes and just everything. But yeah, so we got some flowers. We got Downton is covered in flowers.
Yeah, for Edith's upcoming wedding. She's got a different color palette than Mary.
At the end, Antony proposed or something, right? Like they agreed to get married, Edith and Antony.
Okay. Yeah, so everybody is, getting ready for yet another wedding. Two episodes after the last one. Edith is just really happy that this is going to be her time to shine.
She's so happy. Her hair's super cute. Yes. They're rolling up the carpet, and Granny's walking in. She's having some real trouble getting over this carpet. this rolled up rug. That just covers the entire floor.
It protects the floor, to be honest.
That's true. That's very true. They got a bunch of gifts or something.
Yeah, they've got.
Can I still hear it? I could still kind of hear it a little bit.
Really? Do you have it?
A little bit. There we go.
A tiny bit.
I heard like a little murmuring, and I was like, what is that? Oh, it's them talking.
They're talking about her dress that just arrived.
Oh, that's right.
Her wedding dress, which is like, I mean, yeah, exciting. It came like, I guess, on the train or whatever.
Yeah, that's super fun. Not really. I mean, they talked about her looking like a chorus girl. I don't know. It's just, you know, whatever, small talk.
Yeah. But it's exciting.
Now we're downstairs. It is very exciting. It's very exciting for Edith. Yeah. I should be more excited for Edith, but I'm really not. I do like Antony, though. But yeah.
Okay. Even knowing how this episode ends?
I mean... Okay.
We're gonna keep going.
Yeah, we're just gonna keep going. We're not gonna get into that just yet. But even through all that we're gonna talk about and not bring up right now, yeah, I still like Antony.
So yeah, we're downstairs. All the shirts. O'Brien was heckling Thomas because she was like, "You got your shirts ready," and he's like, "I hid them this time because you obviously hid them last time from me, and they are still...
And you
still
can't be trusted."
Yeah, they're neither still of you on can the be outs. Trusted.
And Alfred's like, what did I do? And O'Brien's like, don't worry. This is between Thomas and I.
It's
basically...
Yeah, and it escalates. And Mrs. Hughes is still not sure what her diagnosis is about this cancer situation. So her and Mrs. Patmore are talking
about it.
Yeah,
so her and Mrs. Patmore are chatting. And guess who overhears?
Mr. Carson.
Carson overhears them talking about waiting on something, some news from a doctor.
It's not like they were being subtle.
Who's they were. Subtle? They didn't. Usually they look around. Usually they're like, oh, let's go over here. Let's go. Let's speak quietly. No, they're just like, even a maid or something had walked past them as they were just straight up talking about it in the middle of a hallway. Like, I mean, they wanted to be overheard, obviously.
What's going on?
We've got Mr. Mosley being a klutz, dropping stuff in the hallway, and Thomas is like, "Hey, Mosley, don't you have a niece or something? What did he say? Cousin, niece, who's looking for a job?"
Yeah. She wants to be a lady's maid because she could not possibly become a housemaid. That is unheard of.
What? And why is that?
I mean, do you really want to be Daisy? Is that really what you should aspire to be?
I mean, no. No one wants to be Daisy.
I think that's what he's saying.
Nobody wants to be
but
Daisy.
What did he say to him here? You might want to, I guess, play that clip. Because he's, like, basically explaining what, like, to tell Mr. Mosley something.
Yeah, let's, okay, sure, yeah, let's do that. I don't know how hot, how, okay.
That's fine.
Here. As a housemaid, if she's not careful.
Oh, we can't have that, Mr. Mosley. But if I were to tell you something, you must promise not to breathe a word of it downstairs. Miss O'Brien doesn't want it known.
Okay. So
it's just leaving us in suspense, though, but Thomas said, you know, O'Brien doesn't want people to know, but obviously he's lying about something.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna say something that's not correct and make Miss O'Brien look bad. Also, when you play your clips, you can put them all the way up. I think it'll sound okay.
Oh, all the way? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, look who's here!
It's Branson!
In a really nice suit! And,
in a super cute suit!
Looking really cute! Him and Sybil are in town
for
the wedding.
Look, super cute. Yeah. So Matthew, Branson, Robert, and Cora are all in the library talking about, like, you know, Downton and it going up in an advertisement. Like, what would they call it? How would they list it?
Uh-huh.
And they also bring up another piece of property that Robert owns that... they might actually have to move the tenants out of and move into that.
Downton,
you know, when
Place.
They eventually have to sell Downton. Yes, Downton Place. I think they said that jokingly, but, you know, it might in fact become Downton Place.
That's the name of it. It's called Downton Place.
What? No, I thought that was a joke.
No, that's like That's like the name of it. That's what it is called.
I thought it was called Erlenmore or something.
Oh, like, really?
They said some weird name. Oh, yeah.
And
they
then
said,
they're like, going to some... rename it Downton Place because it's not an abbey. It's a place because it's just a house. It's just a little mansion. So. Not a big mansion.
Yeah, just a little mansion.
And then Mary comes in,
says Mosley wants to talk to you, Mom. What is he? I think he brings up the O'Brien situation.
Yes.
He says he wants to move forward a candidate. Yes, for Miss O'Brien's eventual leaving, and everyone's like, "What?
Everybody is in the room when Mosley's, because Mosley was like, I wanted to speak to you privately, and then it's just like he says this to everyone.
Well, because Cora, she's like, anything you could say in front of me, you can say in front of everyone else. like she said it.
What if Mr. Mosley was ahead. Like, I've heard that Mary has slept with Mr. Pamuk. Is this true?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, honestly, like Cora didn't care what he had to say. She was like, just say in front of everyone, doesn't matter.
But she kind of pretends that she already knows that Miss O'Brien is leaving. But that's only because Mosley was there and she didn't want to make herself look stupid.
Yeah, because Cora's just a big pushover.
And Robert was like, well, I won't say I'm sad to see her go.
I don't think Robert cares.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he didn't know did he also know that Miss O'Brien like just is just a nuisance downstairs at all? It was just Thomas, right?
Robert doesn't have any, he's never liked her. He's never liked her from the very beginning.
Okay, I thought it was just Thomas.
No. And then we've got Mr. Carson stopping the doctor in the street outside of the cottage.
Basically
hospital.
Chasing after him.
Yeah. Asking and, if there was a, you know, Mrs. Hughes, there's anything he can help with, basically. And the doctor was like, well.
Yes. He inquired about the illness, which, of course, the doctor said, I don't know what it is yet, and I can't disclose it to you, even if I did.
I can't disclose this illness to you.
Yeah. Illness?
That's what you said, wasn't it?
I said illness.
It sounded like illness.
I did not say illness.
Okay, fine. Fine.
It could just be my accent.
Same accent that I have?
No. We have very different accents.
Do we? Do the listeners think we have different accents?
I took one of those tests once. It was like what regions of the U.S. like based on how you say things like pop or soda or whatever,
yeah,
sneakers or tennis, whatever,
yeah,
or just how you say certain things. And I think my results told me that my accent, I'm using air quotes, are like Reno, Nevada.
Uh-huh.
And just some weird locations that are around us, because I guess maybe people in those areas like say things the same way that I say them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking,
so, yeah.
My boyfriend doesn't think that, no one here on the East Coast says tennis shoes. That's what we say in California, referring to sneakers. We say tennis mm-hmm. shoes. But that's like not what they say here.
Yes. Do they say sneakers?
They say sneakers, yes.
Do they also say pop instead of soda?
No, they say soda. They say soda here. The pop's like a Midwest
kitty,
thing.
Kitty corner instead of diagonal, whatever.
Oh, like. Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff. Okay, so obviously the whole situation with Downton and needing money has not been solidified, and Matthew says that he's gotten a letter from the lawyer now, and that there's an official death certificate that is coming, and that the guy who was supposed to be the heir is actually truly dead, and he died before the other dude, so he cannot get this money, and therefore Matthew is the heir to this money.
Yep, Matthew is the heir. and him and Mary are fighting about it again. Mm-hmm. Errol Holm. I think that's what it's called.
I think so. I didn't even notice that the first time. And Mary's real visibly pissed in this one. She wasn't as much in the last one. She kind of put it off because she thought maybe she could get Grandmama's money.
Yeah. I think she really thought that was gonna save Downton. But yeah. They're honestly just saying the same shit that they were saying last episode of just give it to Papa. And he's like, you know, I can't do that. And blah, blah, blah. I'm ashamed. I'm a horrible, horrible piece of trash. Ugh. Like, just same stuff. Ugh. Now O'Brien's helping Cora get ready. And Cora's like trying to press her to tell her like what news she has. She's like, is there something you need to tell me, O'Brien? And she's like, I don't think so.
Maybe O'Brien's a little freaked out because she might think she's coming on to her about the whole dead baby thing.
Oh, I mean, that was so far removed from my memory.
I know. I just thought about it right now.
Wow. I'm honestly just now thinking about that.
Yeah, maybe she was like, oh no, like maybe she thinks she knows I killed her baby.
Oh my gosh, I don't know, maybe. I mean, possibly. Or just something else that she just isn't aware of. Right. And okay, and Robert was being a real asshole.
Oh, you want to play about, that? I don't know, I forgot what he said.
About Antony, like...
Yeah, he's being such a dick. It's like, just fucking calm down. Everyone's managed to deal with Branson, you know?
Ugh, gosh, I know. Let's see, is this the right spot?
Maybe she doesn't want to until she's settled where she's going, but she has let me down.
We should go. Strallon won't be late. He never is, worse luck.
I know you're not happy, but Edith will be in the same county. Loxley's a nice house, and the estate will give her plenty to do.
She'll be a nurse, Cora, and by the time she's 50, she'll be wheeling round a one-armed old man.
So fucking harsh.
Also, that's what Edith wants. Like, I know that they're so... Like, she knows this.
She wants to wheel around a one-armed old man. Let her do
it. That is exactly what she wants. And then he'll die, and then she'll be able to, like... hang out with her kids. I don't know. Like, that's what she wants.
Yeah. I don't know. And honestly, I'm not surprised, but I'm pissed that, like, Cora didn't just... Like, I understand she didn't want to, like, pressure O'Brien into telling her if she was actually leaving, but why would Mosley know without Cora knowing?
I know. It's like...
I just think she's not thinking this through, and the fact that she's like, but I'm so disappointed. I'm like, what are you... Don't be disappointed until you actually know that she's leaving. Like, what is wrong with you?
Dude, she's a pushover.
God, she's the worst. They're back in the kitchen. Carson calls over Mrs. Patmore. And he's like, I think this is where he says... you know, if there's anything we can do, or no, yeah, okay. He says, I saw Dr. Clarkson today. Should I play this?
Yeah, you probably should just,
yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Bear with, here we go.
But, while you're here, I saw Dr. Clarkson today.
Oh?
I'm worried about Mrs. Hughes.
We're all worried. But I don't think he should have told you.
He said it would help if we lessened her workload.
I'm sure it would. But she won't be pleased he's been talking about her before it's been confirmed.
So it is cancer?
Not until it's confirmed. Don't say anything. She'd hate to think the doctor had told you.
He didn't tell me, Mrs. Patmore. You told me.
This was also really dirty of Carson to do.
Yeah. Also telling Mrs. Patmore that she was the one who told him, like...
That's a real dick move.
It really, like, was.
Like, she wasn't... Like, he totally was making it seem like he knew, and he got all the information from the doctor, but then Mrs. Patmore just, you know... That was real... That was a real dick move, Carson.
Also, Mrs. Patmore, like, said, we are all worried, and I'm like, who's we?
Who all knows? No one. Who, Cora barely knows. She only knows that like, she got a test. I don't think Cora even knows. And that it could be something serious if it comes back positive. But, I mean, she probably put two and two together.
Yeah.
Now we're at dinner. The boys are, I guess after dinner, for a smoke and some brandy.
And again, Branson looks like in the nines. He actually has a dinner jacket.
I know. Did his character just, like, do a complete, like, one, and now he's just fine with wearing all this fancy frilly stuff now? Like, come on, where's our little fighter?
I mean,
where's our little rebellious man?
You know, he's coming. There's a lot more for him to do in the future, but for now,
he's whipped.
He's
the family whipped him. You know what?
Hey, it's the same with Matthew. We've been talking about this. Like, once you get accustomed to this lifestyle, you know.
I don't know what they were talking about, but they just said we've been gone for... Oh, no, they're going to go play billiards. I don't know. Oh, Anthony's there, too.
Hey. There's a billiards table? What the fuck? How come we haven't seen this?
I don't...
I really think you should play this scene with him, because this is the father speaking to the future husband conversation.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of important, right? Like, I don't know.
I guess so.
We're getting used to Tom, and I hope you will too. We haven't spoken, really, since it was all settled. I want you to know that I quite understand why you were against it.
Yes. Well,
I just hope you believe that I mean to do my level best to make her happy.
I do believe that. It was never at all personal, you know.
No, of course not. No. It's just because of all this, and I'm far too old.
Anthony... The thing is done. There's no point in raking it over.
But are you happy about it?
I'm happy Edith is happy. I'm happy you mean to keep her happy. That is quite enough happiness to be going on with.
There's been a last minute change of mind.
Oh. I feel like...
So... I mean, is that all he needed? I'm now that we're rewatching it, I'm trying to, like... I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm trying to now see where it happened. Like, where the change of heart happened.
Where the him deciding to do what he did.
To run away.
Yes.
I guess talking about wedding preparations now, Mrs. Hughes and Carson, and Carson blatantly says, you know, go lay down. You don't have to do anything. We don't want you getting tired. And she's like, who have you been talking to? And he's like, what? No one. And she's like,
what?
Okay, whatever.
As if he couldn't figure it out.
I know, like, Carson is being, like, so, like, what's the word? Like, obvious about it. About it the whole time.
I know. She just takes it. She's like, yeah, sure, I believe you, Mr. Carson.
She's like, okay, whatever. We are now... This whole situation here is, like, really starting to piss me off, so something had better happen soon or else.
Because it's moving at a snail's pace.
Or else I'm gonna hurt someone.
Yep.
But we're back at Isabel's job, and she's teaching the ladies how to sew. And look who walks in again, Ethel, for, like, the third time. You know, looking like she's gonna ask for help, but, she actually gonna ask for help this time? Mm. I don't know.
She gets judged by the other ladies there. She also says the word prostitute.
She does. She says it.
It's a thing. It happened.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know.
We now know that this is a place to help prostitutes. Mm-hmm. They didn't say it last episode, but they decided to put it in here. Maybe they said something else a little bit inappropriate last episode, so they couldn't also say prostitute.
There's only so many prostitutes they could say in Downton Abbey.
Yeah, or just nasty words. Like, they probably can't say bloody hell or something, you know, whatever. I don't know. You gotta pick and choose however many words you say.
Yeah. But she, of course, storms out again, which is exactly what happened last episode. But you know she's going to say something about how she wants help for her son. She's like, because she's not like, I need help, you know, myself. I need help because of my son. Something yes. like that. But she doesn't say it. She runs away.
Yeah. Does she say it? Do we see her again this episode? Or I know Isabel talks about her, Isabel, but does she actually show up again?
No. Okay. I don't think she does. It's the slowest moving plot.
So then, yeah, she did say, I'm past saving, but I'd like to save my son or something. So she does say it then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go see Downton Place this morning. But Matthew wanted to meet with, this lawyer this guy here yep. about the will, I guess, or about the death certificate. I don't know, is this where he gives him the thing?
He tells him that he's like the heir for sure, and I think he says, let's go to the, like, I'll get the documents prepared for you to give away this money, basically.
Okay. And when does... I guess he doesn't give him the letter till later. There was kind of an exchange here between them that I kind of wanted to play.
Okay. You're in charge, Emily. You can play it.
This is really difficult.
It is, isn't it? It's so hard.
If I seem really off or like I'm moving way too quickly, it's just because like... I'm trying to do a couple things at once here, and I'm terrible at multitasking. So.
I know. You know, this is good practice.
This is very difficult for me. Okay, I don't know where this is at, but we're just going to listen to it. Okay. Okay.
Are you not...
Papa's asked Anthony to meet us there so we can all face the future together. Yeah. He's bringing Isabel and Granny.
It's hard for your grandmother.
Matthew, it's torture for all of us. And if I ever look as if I'm finding it easy to lose my home, then I am putting on an act.
That was a good exchange.
I really liked that little exchange. Because, like, she's not, like, yelling at him anymore. But, like, she's also just trying to really settle it in with Matthew. That, like, this really hurts me. That and the fact that you can't see how much this hurts me is like
that face.
Kind of a dick move on your part.
Like, look at his face right now, like the side eye.
Yeah,
like he's sad that he's making her sad, because he truly is.
Yeah,
it's completely his fault.
His fault. I mean, it's not his fault, but
yeah,
he is being really stubborn. I'm not paying attention to what's happening right now. Carson's talking to Alfred.
Carson's talking to Alfred, and I think it's just exposition. So it's basically, in case you accidentally turned on the TV and Downton Abbey was playing, what are they doing right now? They're visiting one of the Lordship's old houses. Like, that's it.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yes. Everybody's piling into the cars, but this is the point when Carson is talking to Cora that Mrs. Hughes, she's saying Mrs. Yes. Hughes is really tired. We think she's sick. If it's possible that you could divert her work. And then Cora's like, what? And then he's like, oh, she's sick. So gotta figure something out. Even if there's a wedding going on tomorrow. So gotta attend to that.
There's a part of this conversation that really annoyed me as well. It's like Cora just wouldn't finish her, like, here, O'Brien. Yes. She brings up O'Brien and Carson's she says, I'm sorry to hear about O'Brien or something, or I heard the news about O'Brien. Yeah. And Mr. Carson's like, O'Brien? And she halfway says, like, Mr. Mosley told, and then Robert's like, Cora, please. And she just gets in the car. Like, could you not just, like, just
finish,
like,
your thought.
Just, fucking talk faster and just tell him. Like, it's just the fact that she didn't finish her thought.
The parade is on. They're going to Downton Place.
Cora, please. We need to go now.
Cora, please. Like, it's important. We go, like, right now. We're going to miss luncheon.
Anthony's going to get there before us. We have to beat him. Like, it's just... I'm like, you had 2 seconds to the Cora. Just say, Mr. Mosley said O'Brien was leaving. Pop in the car. Leave. Like, fuck. This is my main... Okay. Honestly, the same thing happens in my K-dramas right now. People just don't talk.
Yeah.
They stay quiet and just look at each other, and they just don't say... I don't say what I need them to say to just hurry things along. I just yell at the screen going, just tell them!
That's, like, miscommunication is, like, most of the problems. Oh, and considering it's mostly lazy writing in general when that happens, which happens a lot in a lot of shows, it happens a lot in this show that Danny watches called Lucifer, where basically people just misconstrue what they're saying every single moment they have a conversation with each other. They think they're talking about two separate things. And so the audience knows that it's two separate things, but the characters don't know. And that is, like, the main drama of every single conversation.
Yeah, like, one person's thinking one thing, the other person's thinking a different thing, and they're both talking about two separate situations or instances.
But,
like,
with the same vague dialogue that doesn't have any specifics in it.
Which, honestly, like, no one would speak this vaguely. Like, the show purposely has the character speak vague so that the other person doesn't know what they're talking about. Which is just not realistic at all.
Okay, we're gonna move on. We're gonna keep going. All right. What's going on?
We need to go.
Oh, Anna is visiting the lady's friend. Visiting Vera's friend.
Vera's friend, Mrs. Bartlett or something. Apparently they had some back and forths, and Anna agreed to bring her some money for some information. And this lady's like, well, thanks for the money, but I ain't telling you shit.
Yeah.
We might play it like their little back and forth that they have when they get into the house.
But at least she's kind of willing to talk to her. She's not just, like, staying silent. She's kind of like, you know, saying, like, oh, you know, even though she would ran off with you, hussy.
She called her that. she called Anna that. And I'm like, Anna is, like, the most opposite to that.
Well,
she's
the other woman. What? You're never going to think kindly of the other woman. That's what it is.
I guess.
Anna's trying, though. Well. And she even brought her money. She gave her money, and then she was like, well, it's going to go to waste. You just gave it to me for nothing.
I'm a little confused about why she ends up talking to her later, because she seems really loyal to Vera, but then she just kind of opens up, and she's just like, okay.
Well, Vera's dead.
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Just like Lavinia, Vera is dead.
She is dead. We are now with Mr. Bates in prison. They're doing, like, some weird, sad laps around the yard or something. Just to get some exercise in.
It's the worst. They're literally just walking around the middle of the...
They're just... It's like, it's so gray and sad and, like, depressing.
No,
like,
grass anywhere.
Walking, yeah, like, it just, it's such a sad
scene. They can't talk
scene.
To each other. It's just horrible.
Can't talk. They're just walking around in circles.
And Mr. Bates's other person who's in prison with him just says, watch out for your cellmate. That's it.
Your cellmate. He hid something in your room or in your bed or something. So look for it or something. He says to search for it. And should I play this whole thing or should we just kind of... do what they like to talk about what they say.
I mean, you could play it. I mean, it is kind of long. Basically, the lady is like, Vera was acting really strangely, and then I guess we'll start here.
Post a letter, so she walked me down the street. She said Bates was coming back later for his tea. She was terrified. She was in a strange mood, jumpy and fearful. But determined. I remember she'd made pastry and she was scrubbing it out of her nails like she didn't care if she took the skin off.
So after she posted the letter, she went home on her own?
She did, poor soul. And I never saw her after. I can remember her now, walking away down the street.
So she posted the letter to the lady?
Yeah, like, wasn't that the main reason why Anna wanted to talk to her? Because she was like, if the lady lived down the street, why did she post it when she could have just handed it over to her?
She posted it to the woman who she just saw.
Yeah.
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 So,
this lady is a lady who lives down the street, and yeah, they brought this up. Instead of walking it to her house or something, or she posted it.
Right.
Which Anna thought was weird.
To prove to her in writing that she was afraid of Mr. Bates. So that
yeah,
she could
basically frame him.
Frame him for murder. Yeah. She just kind of
asks her more stuff. I don't know if any of it's, like, important.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not. Let's go. Next.
We gotta keep going. All right. Oh, they're visiting. Okay. Everybody's visiting the new place, and they're having a luncheon there. They're like, oh, it's a little small. Yeah. Where's everybody gonna fit? Even though it's got, like, 12
rooms.
Yeah,
Anthony went and picked up Violet and Isabel, I guess, because they were, like, on his way or something.
Yes.
So they're on the way to Downton Place. And Violet, you know,
makes a comment.
She's like, are you going to be able to keep up with Edith? And Stralin's like, you know, I hope so. But, you know, she said it in kind of like a sassy way.
Oh, my God. So sassy. Everything's so sassy. She hates the fact that Edith is marrying this old guy.
She really does. She really does. It. And then Isabel inquires, yeah, about the house, which is gorgeous, by the way. We're here. We're
oh, my here. God. They're outside. It's so pretty.
It's ginormous.
They're like, oh, it's
not
small.
Not as big as Downton, but it's, yeah, what is it? Mary says, won't it be a bit cramped? I just want to slap her.
I thought you were going to find your own place to live, Mary. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What was that going to happen?
And even Sybil, like, makes a comment about how small it is, and Tom is like, you know, people live in, like, shacks, right, Sybil?
Like, you know, we live in, like, a very modest house, right? Like, and when I say modest, I mean, like, two bedrooms, two rooms.
Or have you forgotten?
Yes. Like,
just so out of character, like, just some of this, it's like Sybil never left, like, never married a chauffeur and left. They're just high-standing people now.
Violet with her amazing parasol is just, I mean, sitting there, A+. Excellent. Her hat is, like, super tall. I love it.
Yeah, she looks real cute. I even like Isabel's little outfit, her little light blue outfit. Mm-hmm. You know me, love light blue.
Yeah.
It's real cute. Edith's looking real cute, too, with her little
hat,
burnt orange outfit, yeah.
Talking about how there's not a bishop that is going to marry them, but just a, you know, random person who christened them.
That's right, an archbishop or something came to marry Mary and Matthew, but yeah, Edith's like, no, this is fine. I mean, with such short notice, you know, we get what we can get. But I'm happy.
She just wants to be married. This is, like, her the most important thing.
Yes, she just wants to be married.
So
now we have Mary and Matthew.
This is the conversation with a letter.
Yes, okay. So they gave him a letter, and Matthew says, I'm not going to read it.
A letter from, like, Lavinia's dad, directly.
Yes, yes. And she's like, why wouldn't you read that? And he's like, because I don't want to read about him saying what an amazing man I was for sticking by Lavinia. And Mary's look on Mary's face is just like, what the fuck, Matthew?
Like, my face was also like, what the fuck, Matthew?
Yeah. Like, so much, though. I was like, okay, whatever. Matthew's not going to read it.
No. And this is just Isabel just coming down to ask Mrs. Hughes if she can get
About Ethel.
Yes. She can just get the location of Ethel's
address.
Home. Yes. Okay, that's it. You can skip.
That's it. She can't. Yeah, she's like, I saw her.
Yeah.
She's been trying to ask for help, and I really want to reach out to her. Okay.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Fucking.
We're in jail.
We're in jail. With Mr. Bates. For some reason.
He's searching his bed.
For some reason, his
and he finds
cellmate's not there, something. But he's in there.
No, his cellmate is there. He's on the top bunk.
Oh, but he's, like, searching.
He's there.
Oh, okay. But he didn't hear him searching around? And
no,
also, he's
he
got
didn't.
Some kind of something in his hand, which...
I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is
either.
I
tried to see what it was.
It looks like some kind of weed or something.
It looks like it's covered in, like, burlap or something. I don't know what it is.
It might be something covered in burlap. That is a good point. It just is, like, really hard to tell, but
so the guards come in and they're like,
searching.
Oh, look, it's a wall.
Yes.
And they're searching, and like this guy is like, something has to, because the guy probably hit it and then probably tipped off a guard.
Oh yeah.
And the guy's like nothing's here, and the cellmate like looks very suspicious and is like, you didn't find anything? So he definitely thought they would have found it, but nope. He got it, and does Mr. Bates say anything? No, I think he just says bastards, and Mr. Bates like leaves it in the wall.
Yeah, he like shoved it between some bricks in the wall, which you can still really see it. I mean, I don't know what. Whatever,
I don't know. And then I don't.
That's
does
it.
He say, that's the end of that. And I think that's all we see. And I think that's all we see of Mr. Bates in this episode.
Yeah. Anna says she didn't get very far with that lady. And Mr. Carson brings up that O'Brien is going to be leaving. And O'Brien's like, well, this is news to me.
Yeah, he's like, did you confide something with Mr. Mosley? And she's like, no, why the hell would I talk to this guy?
Like, and then she jumps down Mr. Mosley's throat. She's like, Mr. Mosley, why the fuck would you presume that I am leaving? Why would you say something like that? Mr. Mosley's just like, instead of saying...
I kind of want to play this.
Please play it. Please just... I can't.
Like, I love how Mr. Mosley just gets yelled at.
Oh, my God.
Like, I love it.
I'm sorry. I thought her ladyship would know.
But know what?
That you're leaving.
I beg your pardon. How dare you make such an assumption?
Jesus.
Isn't it time for the dressing gong, Mr. Carson?
Certainly is.
Oh, I wish. Does she say more to him in a bit? Whatever.
She like apologizes to, like, I think she says a little bit more like, how could you presume or something? And then she realizes that it was Thomas. And then she's like, it's fine, Mr. Mosley. It's not your fault.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Mosley, like, points at Thomas and goes, but Mr. And then Thomas is like, Mr. Mosley, I have work to do. Don't point fingers at me.
Again, something that could be solved in 2 seconds. It was Thomas.
If Mosley would just open your damn mouth and speak.
He can't. He was blubbering. And then O'Brien is just saying to Cora that...
Cora.
That
she's never talked to O'Brien. She hates O'Brien. Why would she ever confide in O'Brien? That's basically what she says.
I know. Like, she's talking to her, and she's like, Cora's like, I'm still disappointed in you, O'Brien. And O'Brien's like, it's not.
That pissed me off, too. I was like, O'Brien just told you she wasn't leaving. Why would you still be disappointed?
It's not like she told her directly. She could have said... There was someone said I was leaving, and it's just not true. And that's the end of it. Why does Cora have to be disappointed in her? It literally doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. But just that whole situation is like really annoying me. And she called Mrs. Hughes in as well. She's like, I understand that you're not well. Oh, this is where she says it.
What?
Like, that she says that you could stay with us no matter what the illness is.
That's it. That's the illness. That's the whole thing. And then Mrs. Hughes gets emotional, and she's like, well, thank you. I don't know what to say. And that's it.
I don't know. I don't ever know what to say, but I'm going to be classy about it. But yeah, so yeah, she's really sweet about it. She's like, whatever it is, we're here for you.
Edith's wearing a very cute, like, forest green number today. Yes, this is after dinner chat.
All chatting in the drawing room.
A pregnant symbol who we have literally never seen her stomach. Truly not sure if she's pregnant. How long has she been pregnant? It's been months.
I know. How many months has it been since they brought up that she was pregnant?
Well, you know what it is? I was thinking about this, okay? They brought it up in the Christmas special, and that was only, like, 3 episodes ago. Like, let's be honest. There was a Christmas special, 1, 2. This is the 3rd episode, okay? I think because we took so much time between each episode, it's felt like it's been longer. And
I guess, but it's also hard to tell how much time has passed in the show in general. Like, yeah. Unless it tells you a new year or like they mention the month or the season.
They keep it vague on purpose. They really do. They don't want you to know. Like, it's supposed to be kind of like, well, these things are still happening, right? Right? And then by the time that you've done, it's Christmas again. We're not ready to
touch on them yet, so you don't know how long it's been. It's been however long we tell you. Once Sybil gives birth, that's when you'll know that it's been 9 months. That could be 4 more episodes away.
Oh boy. Yep.
Yeah, so Violet's like, Edith, you should go to sleep. You don't want to look tired on the day of your wedding, or else. We gotta play this.
Sybil's still got her terribly frumpy hair as well. It's ridiculous.
It's so bad.
It's just like, why?
It just looked like she just put, like, this is the equivalent of like a messy bun.
Downstairs, the bedrooms are killers.
Well, don't do anything too fast. It takes time to know how a house works.
I really think you should go to bed. No bride wants to look tired at her wedding. It either means she's anxious or been up to no good.
I won't sleep a wink. Tonight or tomorrow?
Sybil, vulgarity is no substitute for wit.
Well, you started it.
That's fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God.
You started it. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I do. I do really like Sybil. It's just, she just doesn't get enough content. Yeah. It's just like, girl.
She doesn't.
Be a subject of something at some point. My gosh.
Oh, this is where O'Brien, like, Mosley stops O'Brien and says, I'm sorry if I, spoke out of turn. Like, I really didn't mean
Thomas to. Thomas told me to say something about it because I was worried about my niece or whatever. And then O'Brien was like, oh, let's just forget about it, Mosley. It's not a big deal. It's not your fault.
Yeah, she says, when you see Mr. Barrow, tell him that he's got some shit coming. That's basically what she says. She said it slyly, like there could be an honest mistake made in the future. Basically, like, watch your back.
I mean, that's what she said last episode. I don't know what...
They just need to both be fired. Like, they're causing, like, such issues. Like, it's ridiculous.
Then everybody,
like, fact that O'Brien hid the shirts.
Yeah.
And Robert had to go to a dinner looking, he looked completely fine, but he looked weird. like, the fact that they're doing things that obstruct the family, they just need to be fired.
I know. Okay, so then everybody sits down to eat, except for Daisy, for some reason. And then Alfred invites Daisy to sit with them, and he asks her for a game later. And then he asks Anna, and she's like, I want to write a letter. And then Mr. Mosey's like, I'll play. And he goes, let's see how we feel.
Yeah. Kimmy and I were laughing so hard during this part.
That was like, so funny.
Like, I was like, oh, he just wants to play with a lady. That's all he wants.
Well, also, I think this is where Daisy kind of starts to have a crush on him, because he asked her to play a game.
And has Daisy never, like, eaten with them before? Like, is this a first?
I thought she did. You know what she does? I don't think she does. I think she's too lowly. I think this is like the mid-tier. the upper of the lower.
She has, but the show has just now decided that Daisy's not going to eat with them.
No.
I'm pretty sure she has.
She sat at the table before, but I don't think it was during a meal.
I'm gonna find proof. No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not.
Let's keep going. We're like halfway done with this episode.
Shit, okay.
Okay. This is an important part. This is a really important part.
Oh, should I play it?
Yes.
What's happening? Should I? Oh, no. When she reads it? When she reads it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is it.
Yeah, so well, basically, she says she's read the letter. Mary's read the letter, and she says, Lavinia sent a letter the day she died to her father, and you need to read this letter. If you're not going to read it, I'm going to read it out loud to you right now. Emily, hit it.
Yes. She's like, darling, I went behind your back, and I read the letter. And he's like, you what?
You read it? I mean, it is kind of a breach of privacy, for sure.
She loved and admired you for this sacrifice of your own happiness, and she commended you to my care.
I can't listen to any more of this.
You must. I have few intimates, and so I've decided in her name to add you to my list of heirs. I think it unlikely that I'll outlive both the first two, so there is little chance of your reading this letter. But if you do, and if the money has come to you, know it is with my full knowledge of what transpired. Please do not allow any grief, guilt, or regret to hold you back in its employment. God bless you, my boy, Reggie.
There it is.
There it is.
Straight from the dead man's mouth.
Perfect timing for me to go out of the room, get wine, and come back.
I know, I heard you.
Because you can't see me, but I can see you.
Yeah. So Matthew, oh my god. The fact that Matthew then goes to say, like, that's really sweet, honey, but how do I know you didn't forge this letter?
I know. Like,
the audacity.
The drama is too good.
The audacity of this man.
I know. He is in such denial that this could have happened.
So much denial. He said, I'm not accusing you of forging the letter, but I'm accusing you of forging the letter.
But he did! But I suspect someone as in you, because you're the one who knows about this.
Who else knows about all this? Oh, God, I'm so pissed at him. I'm so mad.
He just became... I don't know why Vicky likes him so much. He sucks.
Matthew?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my gosh. And then we have Mr. Carson and Mrs. Hughes. He kind of just comes in and says, you know, you're tired, you should go to bed. And she's like, did you talk to her ladyship about me? And he's like, no. Why would you say that? Or she's like, well, if you did, I'm touched. Or what'd she have to say or whatever.
I don't know why Carson's lying. I don't know why he fucking lied.
Did he say no? I missed
he
it.
He said but, no, like, yes.
I assumed he said
he's,
no. Okay,
he's
okay.
Blatantly lying to Mrs. Hughes, even though she knows he's lying, and they both know that he knows that he's lying. Still, he does it.
He knows that she knows that he knows that Mrs. Patmore knows that Mrs. Hughes knows that Carson's lying.
Yes, and they're just like pretending like everything's okay.
I also kind of loved, I could play it, but I'm just going to say it. I kind of loved that Mrs. Hughes says, like, I know you put this family on a pedestal and I don't because they're all garbage people, but I was touched by what Cora said.
I hate all of them so much, but I was touched by what she said.
Yeah, that's basically what she said.
The what she said at Mary's wedding, like, I will always remember. That was the best thing ever.
Oh, what did she say? What did she say at Mary's wedding?
It was like Carson was like, I'm so happy or something, and then Mrs. Hughes was like, I'm glad you're happy, Mr. Carson. Like, in a way that was like, okay, yeah, this is good. I mean, I don't give a shit, but I'm glad you're happy, Mr. Carson. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. And then it's the next morning. Mary comes down to breakfast with all the the maids and the butlers and whatever. And because she knows they'll all be sitting there together. And she says, I have a question for everyone. And this is very important. Did on the day that Miss Swire died, did she send a letter out?
Uh-huh.
And did she give it to one of you guys to post it? And everyone there, because Daisy doesn't eat with... I think that they just did that. So they just wrote it in because Daisy would have been here. Daisy would have been eating here.
Oh, can we just address what she's wearing in this? Because I thought she came down in her PJs, but it's not PJs. It's like a blue top, but she's still got her braid in from the night before.
Yeah, yeah, her sleep braid.
But she's wearing...
Probably because Anna hasn't come up yet.
Sleep braid, yeah. But she's wearing a pearl necklace, which is such a... It's a long one. So I think she's dressed, but she's not, like, fully dressed. Yeah, she's not wearing a sleepwear. But it's just, like, I don't know, just kind of... Yeah, her sleep braid. Because everybody has a sleep braid.
Her sleep braid, yes. Yes. So, of course, everyone says no. But, of course, since Daisy wasn't eating with them, she comes in and says, oh, yeah, I posted it.
Yep.
And everyone's like, Daisy, what the fuck? Why didn't you think to say anything? And she's like...
There was a lot going on, okay? Like...
She even said, like, why were you, like, why did you do, why was she talking to you?
No, they said, like, too. And why
she's like,
she...
She's like, I was just doing my job. Sorry, that was really bad.
No, it was good. It was good.
It's a really
it
bad.
It was a perfect Reno accent, Emily.
I was trying to do Daisy. If I listened to her more. Like my Moira accent. If I could just listen to them more and then do it, I could probably do it. But yeah. So there you go. There's that. Daisy sent the letter, and now we have proof. This is the day of the wedding, right? Yes, this is the day.
It's gonna happen.
Things
are in
Robert
motion.
And Violet are talking about something. I don't know.
I have no idea what they're talking about.
Dwelling on something?
I truly have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, it's over before it began. So, do we care? Do we need to go back and talk about this? I'm sure it's fine.
I don't think it's really that important. I think it has something to do with Strahlen and the other house and the situation that they're in.
True. Okay. Carson's like... Carson, Miss Patmore, and Mrs. Hughes are all in a room, and they're like, please don't come to the church. You need to stay here and sleep. And...
Yeah, have a lie down. Even though nothing's wrong!
I need to play this.
Yeah.
I need to play this.
Would be so nice if people would wait to learn if I really am ill before boxing me up.
I don't know what you mean.
Fuck you.
I don't know anything about any illness.
But an illness.
Don't you? I see.
I see. You're lying again. Fuck you.
He didn't say illness. He said illness. So there's different ways to say illness. All right. Here we go.
He's just worried
and
about you.
And Mr. Moore is like just trying to... Yeah, he's worried about you. He's like, he's a hopeless liar.
As we know, as we were discussing. Then the doctor has the results tomorrow.
Yes.
So actually, is the wedding not... I think the wedding is tomorrow and not today?
Oh, no. I think it's today.
It's today? Okay.
I think it's today.
Okay.
We still have a lot of time. Is it not today? It's today!
Oh,
look what she's wearing.
It's happening. So all so Mary is getting ready. Matthew is about to leave. And Mary tells him the good news that it was indeed Daisy who posted the letter from Lavinia mere minutes before she died. Therefore, it was her. Because as you can remember, Lavinia was doing pretty good before she just about died.
Right, yes. I even though I do think this is an interesting development in the situation, I still don't see how this would make Matthew give up the money.
Me like, neither. He was I know.
Dead set.
He was dead set.
I'm not taking it.
And
he was dead fucking set.
He's like laughing about it now. And he's like, okay, I guess he forgave me for not loving his daughter. Like, what the fuck?
For basically cheating on his daughter. Yeah. This makes no sense. This whole, like, oh, because Daisy sent it. We're all good now. And he's like, you're right. This makes us good, Mary. I love you.
this is absolute. Again, it's always Matthew getting in his own way. As Vicky said, it's...
Yeah.
It's the same situation completely. Where, oh, I guess all of a sudden it's fine now. Okay, Edith comes out in her beautiful wedding dress. Definitely more beautiful than Mary's, in my opinion.
I said the exact same thing. When I saw her, I was like, oh, this dress is so much prettier than Mary's.
It really is. It's made of, like, satin. So it's got, like, a beautiful satin kind of... It's really high-necked, and, but it kind of swishes to her lower waist. Very, very beautiful. And
the
leaves,
like, embroidered on the train, or just on the upper back, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, just beautiful. And she asked to take a picture with the family before going in.
The three sisters, yes.
And we have a very sassy exchange with Violet when she first enters the church and sits down. She's talking to the priest. And she's like, this must be really hard for Anthony, you know, getting married again because he's so old and crotchety.
Yep.
And now we're outside again taking the pictures, and Robert's like, we've held it enough.
Edith looks amazing.
Her hair is beautiful. Her
makeup is like, incredible. She looks so pretty. Oh my god.
She looks so pretty. And I like the little exchange her and Mary have. Mary's like, I know we don't always get along, but I really wish this to be your happiest of days. Which maybe she shouldn't have said that.
Really rubbing salt in the wound there. Are you there?
Maybe shouldn't have said anything.
But, maybe it would be good.
They're walking down the aisle. Everything's going grand. They're walking down the aisle with Edith and Robert. And funny enough, the second Kimmy was watching this with me, obviously. And Anthony, we're watching this right now. As Anthony walks up, Kimmy goes, oh, he doesn't look good. He doesn't look happy. And I go, oh no. I'm like, something horrible's gonna happen. And Kimmy's like, oh yeah, something for sure horrible's gonna happen.
He doesn't turn to look at Edith when she's walking down the aisle, which is strike number one. Oh, she arrives
and
there.
Finally makes it to him, and he barely musters up a half smile. He just concern is on his face. Concern and he's scared. He's afraid.
I think we should play this. I think this is a very important scene.
Okay. Like, just starting now, or should I wait for it to kind of... Okay, here we go. Okay, he's literally, the priest is inhaling in order to speak. Here we go. We're going to play it now.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered...
I don't do this.
Oh!
What? I can't do it.
Oh, fuck, man. Oh.
You know it's wrong. You told me so yourself several times.
My dear chap.
No. I never should have let it get this far. I should have stopped it long ago. I tried to stop it.
What are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying.
Edith. Edith. I can't let you throw away your life like this.
What do you mean? We're so happy, aren't we? We're going to be so terribly, terribly happy.
But you are going to be happy. I pray that you are. But only if you don't waste yourself on me.
Anthony, it is too late for this. Might I suggest we all take a step back?
Let him go. Let him go. You know he's right. Don't stop him doing the only sensible thing he's come up with in
Violet!
Thank you, Lady Bunton.
Granny!
No, no, it's over, my dear. Don't drag it up. Wish him well.
This is...
Let him go.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't!
Goodbye, my dearest darling. Oh. And may God bless you. Oh. Always.
What? What was that weird, like, head tilt in? Like he was gonna... like he was gonna throw up on her,
and then he just
touch heads, like, you know, just like.
Ugh. Why couldn't he do this? Like, couldn't he go outside, like, right before the wedding and say all this? No, he had to wait till she walked down the aisle, and that was when he decided that he couldn't marry her. I mean,
poor timing, Antony. Like, the poorest of timing. I mean.
That really is the most stressful situation. Like, I just can't... It was very well done. We were feeling for her. He is running to his car, crying, looks like a fucking ghost. He looks like he's gonna die, like, right now.
He looks like he's just died and his spirit is just running around. He's translucent. Edith comes home. She's running up the stairs in her gorgeous wedding dress.
Yeah.
Sobbing. Oh, there's a little baby. It's a little pregnant bump.
Sybil. And then Edith throws her veil over the side of the stairs and it falls to the ground in a not so graceful way. I bet you the director was like, we wanted it to be more picturesque, but okay. She collapses on her bed.
Yes.
So sad.
You're just sobbing. And Robert's telling Alfred and the rest of the staff to put all this away. They want it gone before Edith comes back down. Which probably won't be for a couple of days, so they have some time.
That's what I was thinking. He's like, before she goes back down, I'm like,
is she really going to be coming out in the next, like, couple of hours? No.
I don't think so. This is honestly the worst thing to happen. Oh, okay. Yeah, you should probably play this.
Let's do this. Let's, because it's fucking sad, man. All right, here we go.
Is there anything I could say to make it
No!
Fuck off, Cora!
The answer is no!
Look at them. Both with their husbands. Sybil pregnant. Mary probably pregnant. Oh, just go. I mean it, go!
Perhaps you should go.
Actress is so great.
Mama. You are being tested. And do you know what they say, my darling? Being tested only makes you stronger. I don't think it's working with me.
I don't think you're gonna see the effects right after you're dumped, girl. I don't think that's how it works. It's kind of like a long-term situation.
Yeah, it's gonna take a couple months for you to get over this.
Yeah, a while, probably, yeah.
So, yeah, a while, for sure. They're putting all the pre-filled champagne glasses away. The cake!
The beautiful three-tiered wedding cake. Gorgeous looking wedding cake.
Rolling the rug back out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Robert is happy as a clam. Because,
I mean, he's trying to put on a show that he's not happy about it, but he is.
Yeah.
So Mary and Matthew had agreed to not show up Edith's wedding.
Right.
With their news.
Really
about
good
being
news.
Able to save Downton. So Matthew is now going out to tell Robert the good news.
Ugh. Ugh.
It's, nothing we can do. Okay, yeah.
Okay,
wedding sucks.
He tells him the good news. Robert's like, oh yes, but only if you are co-lord with me. We're both gonna run Downton together. Therefore, Matthew and Mary are not gonna leave Downton. Because if he's going to invest
Lord
his money.
Lord and Vice Lord.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the two of them, co-lords, just like you and I are co-hosts of this podcast, they're going to be co-lords of Downton Abbey. Co-earls. Yep. Excuse me. Earls.
Co-earls. Some curls. I'm sorry. That was terrible.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
It was not.
Yes, it was.
Don't even lie.
That was great.
Okay. Oh, he just now got to that part. Okay, let's just walking back. Robert couldn't be happier. Anna and Daisy are chatting.
Well, I like what Daisy says. I never thought I could feel sorry for an Earl's daughter. And then Anna says, all God's creatures have their troubles. Which I think was a nice line, but it's just, yeah, I mean, Daisy doesn't think about anybody other than herself. So I guess in this exact situation, she's like, wow, that really would suck if I got left at the altar, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yes. And Daisy also brings up another question with Anna. Should I just play it or do we just talk about it? I mean,
you should play it. I think it's a good conversation here. I think it's pretty nice.
All right. Here we go. Anna. Let's see.
Anna?
Yes?
I sounded just like it.
Do you think it's right that women should say what they think? Speak out about romance and everything.
Well, things are changing for us, and the vote won't be long now. So I suppose they must get used to us speaking our minds, but...
But what?
With most of the men I've ever met, if you started to court them, they'd be so terrified they'd run a mile.
Alfred walks into the room, and Daisy's like, oh, Alfred? Who's literally 3 feet taller than me? Maybe.
Yeah, Daisy is literally 4'3".
Alfred's like 6'5", so...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a really big disparity.
And honestly, again, Kim and I were watching this, and I said, no, Alfred, you could do better.
Oh!
And Kimmy said, Emily, who else is he gonna meet?
So yeah, I mean, he's not gonna go with the lady from the, you know, the last episode, the American.
But I liked them.
But she's gone. I mean, come on. Like, that's like...
I don't care. Make it happen. If you can make Daisy eat with the rest of the employees and then have her not eat with the employees, you can write the American maid back in.
Post a very convenient letter to save Downton Abbey.
Yes. If you can honestly manipulate the events of this show through writing, you can bring the American maid back.
You're so right,
Emily.
No,
I want it. No buts. You're so right. No buts about it.
Everybody's having dinner. Obviously, Edith's not there because she's...
Nope.
She's not going to come down.
Anna took her up some sandwiches.
Carson, Cora says, you know, they're going to take the food to the poor, and they're probably also going to eat some of it. The help's going to eat some of the food because she doesn't want her seeing, eat it. She doesn't want Edith seeing any of the food. So that's nice.
Yes. And Matthew very nicely says, you know, is there anything we could do for Edith? And Isabel's like, you know, just give her something to do. She's going to need to get her mind off of it.
So all the starter plates are being given to all of the help here. And Daisy is sitting at the table next to Alfred.
Because now it's convenient.
And apparently they're eating like duckling and lobster and asparagus salad and champagne saffron vinaigrette and all this stuff that sounds really fancy. And Alfred's like, where's the cheese?
Where's the cheese and the meat and potato stew and bread that we normally eat? Like, honestly, he's like, what is this? And I verbally said out loud, dude, this is the best you're ever gonna eat.
Yeah, but even then, like, it's not what they're used to. They're probably gonna eat it and think, this isn't good, you know? Because, like, sometimes when you have fancy food, it doesn't taste as good as you think it's gonna taste. It doesn't fulfill you as much as, like, something that you already know. So
that's true.
I get it.
That's true.
But
Carson says something about a foot. Like, he says something about a footman. I don't know. Oh, he just said I won't hear any complaints, especially from a footman.
It's because Alfred says something mean about you. Got to go back.
What does he say?
You got to just play it from that from that's
he talks about Edith.
Yeah.
Run away and hide in a place where no one knew me.
I think she's well out of it.
How can you say that?
I mean it. She's young. She's not bad looking. She could do much better than that broken down old crock.
Sir Anthony may have betrayed a daughter of this house, but he still does not deserve to be addressed in that manner by a footman.
Oh, I think he does, Mr. Carson. Every bit of that. And worse.
Well, maybe just this once.
Oh, yes! Also,
maybe just this once.
Alfred said, she's not bad looking, referring to Edith. The first time anybody has ever said that Edith is not bad looking.
So now the audience needs to believe that Edith is hot.
Well, she's not bad looking, as we have said many times.
She's not. She's but pretty. The show makes you think that she is. So now the show is going to outwardly talk about how pretty she is, and now everyone's going to think, oh yeah, oh, Edith's gorgeous. Like
Edith's stupid. Like Mary 2.0.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Is there any cheese, okay, Mrs. Patmore? Cheese and then
whatever. Okay.
Oh, and then
it's the next morning.
Anna comes
in and picks up the really pretty beret or tiara.
It's
or
a tiara thing. Her hair. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
So gorgeous. Oh my
she
god.
She says, "Is there anything I can get you?" And Edith says, "Another life." So sad.
It's pretty sad. It's pretty sad.
It's very sad.
She's gonna be a spinster again. Girl, you're like 23 years old, okay? Like, you're not gonna be a spinster.
No, you're not. And with your cute 20s hairstyle that I've come to love, you're gonna do great.
I know.
You're gonna do great.
Why don't you just do that hairstyle all the time? Why don't you just be Edith as you are right now?
That is way too much work, dude.
Yeah. It is.
Once I cut my hair shorter again, it will kind of start looking like that again. Mm-hmm. My hair will definitely be a lot wavier once I cut it off.
It is.
Maybe. Mrs. Hughes is now getting ready to go to town. Carson says, you know, what if I come with you? I have an errand to run. And she's like, nope, I'm going to go by myself. But by myself means
with Mrs. Patmore.
But she doesn't go in to receive the test with Mrs. Patmore. No. She goes and sees him by herself. So I guess that still counts, but she still said, I have to do this on my own, and then left with Mrs. Patmore. So that, again, writing not consistent, a little weird.
No,
little
it was. Wonky,
but, you know, whatever.
It's okay.
Nope.
No, okay, it has to be solid. It has to be like a block of cheese. A block of cheese.
And then
Mr. Carson is visibly worried in, cleaning the silver.
He keeps checking his watch. See when she'll come back. They're sitting waiting outside. Does anything significant happen or can I just
tell her she can go inside and that's it.
All right, ready to see her. Okay, we're back at the house with Thomas.
I guess this is when O'Brien confronts Thomas and just says, you'll be sorry, Thomas. I'm going to do something real bad to you and you're not going to be able to pin it on me. And it's exactly the same thing that's going on with Mr. Bates and his cellmate.
Yes, completely. Completely.
Yeah.
Thomas does look a little worried.
Yeah, like, I mean, okay, I would be if I was an asshole too.
Yeah.
What does he expect?
And Thomas knows what Miss O'Brien is capable of. So, like,
she murdered a baby. Like, okay, she don't mess.
She really did though.
Yeah,
she murdered a human life technically.
Yeah.
All right. So Mrs. Patmore comes back. I guess she already knows. She already knew.
They found out it's not cancer. And they told Mr. Yes. Carson.
Yes, Mrs. Hughes tells Mrs. Patmore to secretly tell Carson as if he shouldn't know. Because at this point, Mr. Carson still thinks that Mrs. Hughes doesn't know.
That he knows. And Then he's and now Carson's singing.
I'm gonna play this. Okay. Really cute. Okay, hold on.
All right.
Here we go. So they tell him he's obviously in a good mood. Mrs. Hughes watches him polishing the silver.
Dashing away with a smoothing iron, dashing away with a smoothing iron, dashing away with a smoothing iron, she stole my heart away.
What a song. The smoothing iron.
Super cute. Yeah.
What?
Dashing away the smoothing iron, stole my heart away. If those lyrics didn't make a lick of sense, I don't know what does. Oh shit, that's the end.
That's the fucking end. We made it.
Oh shit. That's end.
You did it, Emily. Oh, what how did it feel to be in control? It was stressful, huh?
It definitely was stressful. It was hard for me to concentrate on what's happening in the show. Like I was trying to be like, what did they talk? Like, I honestly, when I was running it, I forgot everything that happened in this episode. I was like trying to follow along. But we did it. We did it. This is episode 3. I'm not gonna lie, I thought we were doing episode 4 because I thought we were further along than this.
No.
That's okay. We are now gonna be on episode 4 the next time we record. But episode 3. Did stuff happen?
Well,
not if you think about it, other than Downton now officially being saved.
Downton is saved and Edith got married. Did not get married.
So nothing happened basically.
I mean, but that was like a big thing. But other than that,
so this will probably affect her for the next couple. This will probably affect her for the rest of season 3.
Mrs. Hughes isn't sick. That was something that happened too. So
that is something that we worried about for an episode, for about 2 episodes. So yes, okay, yeah.
But
still don't know what's up with Mr. Bates and his cellmate, but
still don't know what's up with Ethel either, which is another thing.
Or Ethel,
right?
Gosh, that's been happening since like the first episode.
No, it was just nowhere. No, it was just last episode, Emily. I don't think it was this one.
No,
I think it was
really.
Yes, I don't think it was the first episode.
Okay,
we have so much time between them, and so many things happen in these episodes. Like, there's so many small.
That's true.
You know,
that's very true. That's very true.
I mean, this episode was like very fine. Like, I didn't have any major concerns with it. I thought it was written pretty okay. I enjoyed the drama of being left at the altar. So that was
some pretty good drama.
Yeah, that was kind pretty of awesome. Just because, like, Edith deserves better, and we kind of all felt bad for her at that point, and I thought that they wrote that pretty well.
Yeah,
so I give this episode 6.5 mini mansions out of 10.
Downton Places?
Yeah.
Wow.
Downton Places.
Okay. Okay. I honestly, the best part of this episode was only Edith getting left at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, kind of just, I don't know, it happened a bit too predictable. It fell into place.
Also, the whole situation with Matthew and Mary and him giving up that whole thing way too easily. Ridiculous.
That really pissed me off. I did not. And honestly, the only good part was Edith getting left at the altar. That was the only good part of this whole episode. So I'm going to have to rate this one down a bit more.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give this one, try to think of my item. Oh, goodness.
you can also click the tab.
Oh. What?
You can click the tab over so you can see my face now.
I am there. Oh. I can see your face.
Hello.
I could also stop presenting. I could do that. But yeah, no, I definitely moved back already. I give this one 4 billiards games out of 10.
Billiards with Branson.
Billiards with Branson.
Honestly, this one was a fun one to talk about. I was really excited to talk about it. So glad it got done.
I mean, yeah, they're always fun to talk about, but yeah. I stand by what I said. 4 Bransons in suits.
Uh-huh.
In fancy suits. But no, I'll stick with billiards. As always, excited to see what happens in the next episode, which we will hopefully bring to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the plan always. If you enjoy this episode, please let us know. You can rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We are also now on Spotify. And if you need notifications on future episodes that we release, please follow our Twitter. We have @ByThePopcorn, Instagram @AllByThePopcornPodcast, Facebook, just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and like our page, and YouTube, just search All By The Popcorn Podcast and subscribe to that. We also have some merch if you want to check that out. And if you want to email us, say hello, give us suggestions, let us know your thoughts on Downton as well, you can email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.